Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. So glad you could be with us. We are jam-packed with some special guests on tonight's program, so let me quickly introduce the co-host of the program, senior sports writer Keith Groller. Keith, glad to have you back in studio.
Great to be back here.
And we have a very special guest kicking off the show via the phone line. So let's welcome in from ESPN Radio, the host of Freddie and Fitz on ESPN Radio weeknights across the country, Mr. Freddie Coleman. Freddie, thanks for joining us on Sports Talk this evening.
My pleasure, gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight?
It's an honor to have you on our program, and we'd love to pick your brain about a whole host of sports topics. Obviously, in our viewing area, a lot of the interest is about the NFC East with the Eagles, Redskins, and Giants season all kicking off over the next couple days. I want to start there and get your thoughts on the NFC East, especially as wide open as it is. I've seen some publications that have the Giants predicted to be in first place, maybe even last place. Same thing with the Eagles. I guess the only situation I saw or scenario would be the Cowboys probably are not going to finish in last, but even they are going to have some trouble with Ezekiel Elliott missing six games. So what are your thoughts overall on the NFC East?
Well, the NFC East is going to be just like the rest of the NFC, and you're right how wide open that division is, mainly because the conference is so wide open. I think you can look at six or seven teams that realistically could win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl, even though we're going to see how the season plays out and who can deal with injuries and who's going to step up and who's going to fall. But I look at the NFC East, and each team in that division has done everything they can to deal with each other. And the main part of that is that Cowboys offensive line. Mm-hmm. That offensive line is the best offensive line in football. So if you're going to beat that football team and get at their weakness, which is still their defense, and put pressure on Dak Prescott, you have to be able to control that offensive line. And the only team to do it last year successfully were the New York Giants, who took two regular season meetings from the Dallas Cowboys. I like the Philadelphia Eagles have done putting more weapons around Carson Wentz. If you believe in him as a franchise quarterback, then you got to give him a little help. Washington, they weren't that far away. They lost a lot of tough games. They're going to be in the mix. The Giants made improvements to help out Odell Beckham Jr. to get taller in the red zone with their draft choice of Evan Ingram out of Ole Miss and bringing in Brandon Marsh to help Eli Manning. So everybody in that division is doing everything they can, not only to catch the Dallas Cowboys, who won it last year, but also deal with that offensive line, who, for my money, was the MVP of the NFL last year.
The Ezekiel Elliott suspension was upheld, at least for now. Six games he'll be out. How much do you think that will hurt the Cowboys? Obviously, he's one of the premier running backs in the NFC. They have some pretty good backs to begin with, and then you mentioned the offensive line, too. How much, though, do you think that will hurt in terms of wins and losses early in the season for the Cowboys?
Well, here's where it hurts with Ezekiel Elliott, because you're right. They do have pretty good running backs in Darren McFadden leading and Alfred Morris, two guys who have had 1,000-yard rushing seasons in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. But those guys aren't special like Ezekiel Elliott. It's not so much when you get to that pass, that first level of the defensive line, but he was so good at getting to that second level and making big plays. He was terrific in blitz pickup, keeping Dak Prescott clean where he can get the ball downfield. He was also terrific at turning a short gain into a long gain and being a very patient runner and also a terrific pass catcher out of the backfield. No matter what and no matter how serviceable Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris are going to be, they're not Ezekiel Elliott. So I think that's where we're going to see where that difference is, where you're going to get some running plays and have running success. We're not talking about two scrub guys in Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris, but they're not special like Ezekiel Elliott was last year for the Dallas Cowboys because he has that ability. That's where we're going to see exactly how much they're going to miss Ezekiel Elliott. They're still going to be successful running the football. It won't be as much pressure on Dak Prescott, but those special plays, those chunk plays, those plays are not going to be there with Ezekiel Elliott out six games whenever he's going to serve that suspension.
Freddie, this is Keith Groller, and first of all, I want to say I'm a big, big fan of yours. You're my late-night guy, and because I'm a sports writer, and I'm coming home after doing my stories and reporting on various things, and I'm driving home, and you always entertain, you always uplift. I like you usually have a positive spin on a lot of issues, and I really appreciate that. But anyway, as we get started with the NFL season tonight, who are some of your sleepers? Who are some of the teams that you're thinking about that could be on the rise that we're not thinking about right now? And also, are there any teams out there, maybe the Cowboys, who could be in for a fall this year, a bit of a disappointment?
Well, number one, Keith, thank you for the kind words. If I'm getting you home safely to your destination, then I'm doing my job. That's number one. Number two, a lot of love for the Tennessee Titans. I can completely see why. I think Marcus Mariota, quarterback, is ready to make that jump to not being an elite quarterback, but being beyond a very good quarterback because he has a running game. They've gotten receivers. They got a pretty good defense. They're in a winnable division where he can gain some confidence. It would not surprise me if Tennessee wins the AFC South and gets a home playoff game. That's how much I believe in what they've been able to do going into year three with Marcus Mariota. I'll give you another team, the AFC, that nobody's talking about, but that can really be good. It's a team New England's playing tonight, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. Their running game is going to be terrific. They have weapons for Alex Smith. Their defense was terrific, and they were a holding call away from beating Pittsburgh in the AFC playoffs last season. That's a team that they had a chance, and I think they will have a great chance to get into the playoffs, that could be in for a run, depending if they're on the other side of the bracket, from the New England Patriots. So that's from the AFC side. From the NFC side, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are getting a lot of love, and they should. They add DeSean Jackson to go with Michael Levins, who's a big-time bona fide wide receiver. We saw what Jameis Winston was able to do his first 2 years in the National Football League. That defense led by Gerald McCoy made some really good strides last year, and they believe in themselves because they remember 14 games played in the regular season. They were 8-6, and they were about to be there to qualify for a playoff berth in the NFC. So even though Atlanta's still the best team in that division, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers believe they can beat them, and they've shown they can beat them because they beat them in Atlanta last season, and Atlanta got to the Super Bowl and were beating the fool out of New England Patriots before they collapsed. So those are those three teams, the two in the AFC, Kansas City and Tennessee, that aren't on everybody's radar. And in the NFC, Tampa Bay, who has shown enough stones and has enough in terms of young and veteran leadership that they may be able to do some things and possibly win that division in the NFC South.
In general, Freddie, do you think the NFL is in for a comeback year in the sense that the ratings were down? A lot of concerns, a lot of negativity with the CTE issue and so forth. There's always negativity with guys getting suspended and are in trouble, that kind of deal. But how about this year being a comeback year for the NFL? There's no crazy election to distract us this year. What are your thoughts on that, this being a comeback year?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a comeback year because I think people have to realize this. The NFL came back from that towards the end of last season because look what happened in the playoffs. And a big part of that was the Dallas Cowboys were good. The Oakland Raiders were good. The Steelers were good. The Patriots were good. The Dolphins got into the playoffs. They were good. And the football was better as the season went along. People make a big deal about the election. I clearly understand that. And also the concussion thing and the protests with Colin Kaepernick doing that. I clearly understand that. But if we had really good football at the beginning of the year, all of this goes away because that was a main problem that no one's talking about. The product on the field early on wasn't up to snuff to the standard that we're used to seeing or that we want to see from the National Football League. The minute that the play got better and the Cowboys became that story, and then Tom Brady, we saw what he was able to do after serving his four-game suspension, Le'Veon Bell doing what he did for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the rise of the Atlanta Falcons, what they were able to do, Seattle still being in the mix. The minute that we saw better football and better competition and the stars showing up and playing well, no one was talking about CTE or protests or the election. They were talking about, wow, do you see the play that Ben Roethlisberger made or that Aaron Rodgers made? Those things do matter. You can have the best product in the world, but if you have terrible games week after week that we saw the first 10 weeks of the season, then that was more of a tune-out factor to me, and that has not been made much of when it comes to the National Football League and why they were on the comeback once that got better and everybody tuned into the NFL again.
Freddie, you mentioned Colin Kaepernick. That was a big story last year. It was a big story again when he decided to leave the 49ers. It continued to be a big story when he remained unsigned and no team reached out to him during OTAs and during training camp. And now we're starting the season, and it's still a story, and Ray Lewis made it a story again because of some other issues with social media and so forth. What's your take on how everything has transpired, and do you think at some point he will get an NFL job this season?
No, I don't think he's going to get an NFL job this season. And I know there are plenty of people that want to put me on the good ship lollipop when it comes to Colin Kaepernick being back in an NFL team. But the NFL owners and the commissioner, Roger Goodell, made it very clear that the power resides with them, and they're never going to let any player or players believe they can be even near the line where they reside. They don't want the players to have what NBA players have, which is a partnership with Adam Silver, the commissioner, and the owners, or Major League Baseball players, what they have with Rob Manfred as commissioner and the owners. Those two entities in those sports with the owners and players are lockstep in making the play better to making the league better. The NFL owners have no interest in that. And believe me, after everything that happened with Tom Brady, if they were able to find a way to suspend him for four games for something that a lot of guys have done to the NFL, past, present, and in the future, that was their way of saying, hey, we know where the power is, and we're going to make sure that you know it. That's why Ezekiel Elliott is going to sit six games. Whether he does it this year or next year, he's going to serve that suspension. The NFL owners have served notice to guys like Colin Kaepernick or anybody else that if you run afoul of them, if you do something that's going to harm the Shield and maybe potentially harm their money, even though Colin Kaepernick has not done that, they're going to make sure that you're going to be down here and we're going to be up there. I don't think there's any NFL owner this year that's going to sign Colin Kaepernick because it's still too soon. Next year could be a different story, but I would be surprised, even with an injury here, an injury there, if an NFL owner is going to take that chance and bring him in and risk getting stink eye from the other 31 owners in the National Football League. I can't see it.
Our special guest leading off the program is Freddie Coleman, host of Freddie and Fitz on ESPN Radio, nationally syndicated radio show on ESPN platform. I want to get your thoughts on the Major League Baseball playoff race. I know a few years ago when the whole second wild card issue came out, I consider myself an old school guy. I didn't like the extra playoff spots, but now you're looking at the playoff race with Boston, Cleveland, Houston in first place in their respective divisions, the Yankees, Twins, Angels, Orioles, Royals, Rangers, Seattle, and Tampa Bay, all within 3.5 games. So there's still a lot of interest in baseball, at least in those cities with 3.5 games or 3.5 weeks left in the regular season. How do you see the playoff race going, and do you still like some of the changes that baseball has made with the extra playoff spots? And, you know, they're trying to speed up the game, but that never seems to work out. But your thoughts on Major League Baseball this time of year?
Well, put it this way, if you're Major League Baseball, especially now with football season being started in college, and right around the corner starting tonight in the National Football League, you have to really promote your sport more than ever before. You can't just say, well, it's September, people are going to think about baseball, think about the pennant races, and then get ready for the World Series. The NFL and college football is still going to outdraw you, so you have to let people know what's great about your sport and do it ad nauseum. And adding the wild card did not bother me. You get a chance of an extra postseason game, more teams believing that they can have a chance to be in that in the wild card spot, being in the playoffs. I was completely okay with that. But if you're Major League Baseball, you have a team, the Cleveland Indians, who apparently have determined that they don't want to lose ever again the rest of the regular season. This is the same team that last year had a 3-1 lead in the World Series against the Chicago Cubs. Why are you not promoting that baseball team and letting people know, hey, this team could do this again and maybe not fall short like they did last year against the Cubs? The Cubs are going to be back in the playoffs winning the NL Central. Before they hit the ditch, the Los Angeles Dodgers were the story of the baseball season. You have these many great stories in big markets or in a smaller market, relatively speaking, when it comes to the Houston Astros. Why are you not putting that out there front and center to the point that people say, okay, I want to see what the fuss is all about? The NFL clearly understands that. The NBA clearly understands that. Even Major League Soccer, they clearly understand that. What has been baseball's problem? That you have these storylines, these things that are waiting to be seen and heard by people out there, especially young people, and yet you act like it's 1917 instead of 2017, that you don't need to do these things. In a 140-character social media world that we live in, if you're not doing that for your sport, then you're doing your sport an injustice. And believe me, I'm a baseball fan. I love everything about it. I know they tried to speed up the game. You can't speed up a game that has no clock. There's only so much you can do. But there are other things that make the sport great, that should make this time of year great, and baseball continues to sit on their hands and do nothing to further and forward their sport. And that's on them, and they get what they deserve by not doing that.
Freddie, I got to get one question in on the NBA. Around here in Philadelphia, obviously, we're very excited about the Eagles. The Phillies were waiting. We think they're coming a little bit. Reese Hoskins and the home runs, they're going to generate some excitement going forward. The Flyers are always in contention anyway for a playoff spot. But the team of the hour is the Philadelphia 76ers with all their young talent. What do you think of them? It may take some time, obviously, to get everybody healthy and on the floor together. But what are your thoughts on the Sixers maybe re-energizing the basketball community in the city of brotherly love?
For the first time in a long time, the 76ers have hope, because for the longest time, all they had was despair. And you didn't know what the franchise was going to do or what path they were going to take to get going in the right direction. If they can keep these guys healthy, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Markelle Fultz, that's a threesome that in 2 or 3 years will be hell on wheels to deal with in the Eastern Conference, because LeBron can't play forever. You don't know what's going to happen with Boston, although I think their future is extremely bright. Now they added Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. But if you're the 76ers and you seem to have basketball people in charge, you don't have to worry about using a trust the process mantra to get people thinking you have hope. We know they have hope because we've seen what Joel Embiid has been able to do before he got injured. We believe that Markelle Fultz can be that next superstar player in the NBA, and that Ben Simmons can form that triangle that you're going to need to succeed in the NBA. If they're able to do that and add more pieces, we've seen exactly what it's like when Philadelphia basketball is right and ready, especially in the NBA, especially in that city. So the one thing they have more than ever before, for the first time in a long time, is hope. And for their sake, I hope that an injury does not derail this whole thing, especially when you have an injury history, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons trying to recover from an injury, and Markelle Fultz suffered a little bit of an injury playing in college basketball last year. If these three guys can stay relatively healthy, the NBA is going to be better because the 76ers are going to be there with Boston, and then you hope that the New York Knicks will get their act together and come along and make it even better for NBA basketball on the East Coast.
Freddie, before we let you go, I know you're a proud Mansfield University graduate, and the team has some big plans coming up over the next couple weeks, celebrating the 125th anniversary of the world's first nighttime football game. I don't know with your busy schedule if you get a chance or will be getting a chance to head back for some of the special ceremonies they have planned, but your thoughts on that big anniversary and some of your memories about Mansfield and the football program there.
I'm definitely going to be back for that. I can't wait to be a part of everything that's going to be that final weekend in September, where we have Light of the Night again and you celebrate the anniversary and it's homecoming weekend. So I can't wait for that, number one. And I tell people all the time, and I make sure that they know about it, I take Mansfield University wherever I go. I'm a proud Mountie member, class of 1987. I'm a proud Mansfield man, and I wear that proudly and let people know about that. And when you have what we were able to do as a football program, we weren't a star program. We don't have the victories that a Millersville had or an East Stroudsburg, an IUP. But we always had better people and better men. And we always won in the game of life. And that's because we had a president, Rod Kelchner, who made that a point. And I had a coach in Tom Elsasser who was big on that. So, yeah, other guys have gotten victories, but they don't have what we have, and we're always going to have that brotherhood. We're always going to have that camaraderie. We're always going to have that trust that developed on those football fields during practice, during training, during games, and manifested itself not only on the field but also off the field. So that's why 125 years, I don't think people understand how big it is in the realm of Mansfield, but also in the realm of college football, where so many people are going to be looking at our little school in Tioga County in Pennsylvania and having all that attention on them. Mansfield University and the football program deserves it because they've earned it, and we've been able to wear that proudly, being Mansfield people, taking that wherever we go, no matter who we meet.
That's good. And as you mentioned, that's coming up the last weekend of the year. Should be a special night. Freddie, thanks so much for joining us and continued success with your program.
My pleasure, gentlemen. You guys have a great rest of the show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Freddie.
Pleasure was ours. Freddie Coleman, the great voice of ESPN Radio and the host of the Freddie and Fitz Show. Make sure you also check out his podcasts on the ESPN website. There's some great stuff there, even if you can't catch the show live every night. All right, we go from a great voice in sports radio to a legendary head football coach to pick his brain and to catch up with him a little bit. Former head coach at Easton and one of the winningest coaches in Pennsylvania football history, Mr. Steve Shifford. Steve, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And first of all, before we get started, I just want to thank you again publicly. Since, as long as I've been doing this, no coach has been more accommodating. You've always let us come to your practices, film practices, share information with us. And for all the years you were there, and I think you have the record of most appearances on the show. It falls way below some of your other achievements, I know. But I think you've been in more than any other sports head coach or any other team because of the generosity of you over the years. So I just want to thank you for everything you've done over the years.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate that. And thank you to RCN for everything they've done to promote, Scholastic sports here in the Lehigh Valley. We're very fortunate here with what we have for our young people.
Yeah, well, it's always fun coming to your practice. And nowadays, you know, some coaches don't want the cameras running, but I mean, it was always great. You even took us into the film room, I think, one time when it was actually filmed.
that was quite a while ago then.
Yeah. Besides being a great ambassador for Easton, I thought you were always a great ambassador for football in general. You've been involved with the Big 33 organization for many, many years, the Pennsylvania Scholastic Football Coaches Association East-West game. I know you were involved in that for many, many years. I think you were, you've been, and I'm probably missing a couple different organizations you've been a part of. The McDonald's game, you're always up there involved in that. But you love the game of football. You love what it does for young people. You love what it does for a school, a community. I think you've been a great ambassador, and it is a love of yours, correct?
That's true. I mean, our whole family has grown up with the sport. I mean, you started as an 8-9-year-old and so forth, and it gets in your system and it goes on. But I've been fortunate to have the contacts to get into different organizations. And I think each organization adds something different, not just to you personally, but to promoting sports here in the Lehigh Valley.
It was funny because we were sharing some stories you had from your early days before you went at Easton, too. And the early years, I'm sure, were kind of lean. You had some, you know, we were talking about one story in which you almost ran out of players in one game. But, you did so much for the sport, too. And I think a lot of people, you know, forget about everything that you've done. And Keith mentioned a lot of those things that you've done outside of just Easton.
Well, it's true. I started at Notre Dame in 73, and I think we had 22 kids in the entire program. And it was a good place to start, though, because you learned it right from the grassroots. And I think the biggest thing there was we eventually got into what was then the Centennial League. And we were fortunate enough to get our first Centennial League up at Lee Heighton with Marty Olay as the coach. And we played some really good ball teams that year. I mean, we ran into Stroudsburg with the Paffenroth brothers. We ran into East Stroudsburg with the Beck brothers. And we still had a pretty darn successful season.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what have you been doing the last few weeks? There were rumors going around you're going to go coach at this school. You were definitely on this staff. And, you know, I called you, I guess, midsummer, and you said all of those rumors are completely false. Because a few of those rumors came from pretty good sources, too, in the media, too. But I guess you're enjoying your time making the concert circuit right now.
Well, my wife and I are doing some of the things that she always wanted to do. I think I owe Vicki quite a bit for standing by me all these years. And so we're doing some things that she wants to do this fall, and try to get around and do different things. They say that New England's very pretty in the fall. So
Never been up there?
We're going to take a trip up there. We're hopefully going to go up to an Army Temple game later in
Wonderful.
October. We got some concerts that we've gone to.
What are you going to go see?
We're going to be going down to Philadelphia this weekend to see Lady Gaga.
Oh.
All right. Really? We saw Jethro Tull this past week or two over there in Bethlehem, and who knows what else.
You saw Paul McCartney?
In the past, yeah. It's something we've always liked. Heck, we're products of the late 60s and early 70s, so concerts were the thing in those days.
By the way, if anyone has connections for Bruce Springsteen, you're looking to go there next. He can't find an available ticket in New York. You've been to Madison Square Garden, I think, recently, too, to see a concert. But if you have any connections to Bruce Springsteen and for tickets for Steve, make sure you contact us or contact Steve directly.
Is there any venue that you really like for the concerts, and better than others? You've been to the Garden. Where's your favorite concert venue?
Well,
and of course, we have a bunch of them now that we never used to have. Music Fest,
right,
where they're located, the Sands. There's been the State Theater at one point in time was not vibrant, but it's certainly vibrant now.
Probably my favorite used to be down at Valley Forge.
Oh, my goodness,
the rotating stage and so forth. That was pretty neat. I truly enjoyed that.
I did too, and I missed that. Now they put a mall up down
there. Yeah.
And I think they have a theater in the casino, but I don't know.
I haven't been there.
Yeah. I can talk music.
Yeah, you never took me there.
By the way, you'll love this. I was given free tickets to Tom Jones at the Sands. All excited.
Oh, that sounds good. When are you taking me?
It was supposed to be last night.
Oh, okay.
Guess what
I was
happened?
Free last night.
Guess
by
what
the
happened
way.
Four
what?
Days ago?
What?
Tom Jones canceled his tour. So I get free tickets.
And you never invited me, by the way.
I'm sure you want. If you want to go to see Tom Jones,
I'd love to see Tom Jones.
I'm sure my wife will happily step aside. She doesn't even know who Tom Jones is, I don't think.
No, I would love to see. All right, we're going to get back to football here in just a little bit with Steve Shefford, our special guest. He's kind enough to be on the rest of the program here. We're going to talk some Lehigh Valley High School sports with him. Right now, though, it is time to roll out the trivia question and give you at home a chance to win tonight's trivia prize. The question does deal with the NFL. Who was the first NFL quarterback to throw for over 1,000 yards in a single season? And we're going to be nice this week and give you a hint. His head coach was Curly Lambeau, which should resonate with some people there. So if you could correctly identify who was the first NFL quarterback to throw for over 100 yards in a single NFL season, you can get in contact with us. And here's more information on that and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We're welcoming back Steve Schiffer to our program. Many years of being here as a head coach and talking some local sports with you. I know we were kidding you about being at the concert circuit, but you have seen some local football the last few weeks. Pleasant Valley Nazareth, Nazareth with a nice win up there, and Lehigh Villanova with a little bit of a surprise, I thought, with Nova winning that game. But what were your thoughts on what you've seen of local football so far?
I was impressed with Nazareth the first night. They're a very young football team. Mm-hmm. They came out there, and the thing that impressed me most was they made very few errors, very few penalties, stayed away from turnovers. And, of course, with Dotson, he's such an explosive player, he can really do things. But obviously, second week, they ran into some problems with the Parkland football team. And Lehigh was an excellent game, just a miscue or two here, and they could have easily beat Villanova.
Yeah, I was surprised when I got that final score. I thought Lehigh was going to beat him this year. Keith, you were at that game.
Well, it was a shootout. It'd be 38-35, and yeah, you know, Lehigh had some mistakes. I mean, they had an opportunity. They were on the 13-yard line and fumbled the football, and the kid ran it all the way back. And I was brought back. But they still scored the next play, Villanova. And you can't make those kind of mistakes. I mean, Villanova's ranked in the top 10 in the country for a reason. And I think Lehigh will bounce back. This is a very important game for them this Saturday as they take on Monmouth, the same team that played Lafayette in the opener. Evidently, Lafayette gave them a good battle. I thought Lafayette played well at Monmouth, and looks like they're on the right track. And I think Lehigh will get back on the right track this week.
Steve, you mentioned about Nazareth not making a lot of mistakes last week. I hear a lot of people, and not just old school football fans, but a lot of people saying, you know, teams making mistakes or mental mistakes, or they're not blocking right, or they're not, you know, lining up the way other people used to. And not just 30 years ago, but even, you know, 5-10 years ago. How has football at the high school level changed? And is it harder to kind of stress fundamentals in old school football with younger kids nowadays?
I don't think it's harder to stress them. I think the thing is, if you have a good program and you're winning, the kids realize if they don't do certain things on the practice field, it's not going to carry over to the game field. Mm-hmm. Now, the style of play, yeah, it changes, but I think it goes in cycles. Hey, everybody, you know, now you want to throw the ball all over the place. And, man, I can remember back in the 70s, Wayne Grube came out at Thanksgiving one day, abandoned the Eastern running game, and with a quarterback named Odell Thedford, started doing the run and shoot and throwing the ball all over the field and upset Phillipsburg. So things go in cycles.
Yep. I have to ask you. I mean, if you want to decline to answer, I certainly understand that. But how do you feel about how everything went at the end for you at Easton?
That's between Easton and I and myself.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, let's just leave it go at that. It's over. It's done. We'll both move on. Yeah.
But are you still rooting for the Red Rovers?
Oh, sure. I mean, I spent a lot of time with those kids over the last couple of years, and you know, we want to see them succeed, and I think that was one of the things when I talked to them at the end. You know, keep it going.
How about the gentleman who succeeded you as the head coach? I'm not going to say replaced you, we succeeded you.
Well, Jeff was part of our staff for 18 years. He knows how we've done it in the past, and I'm sure he has wrinkles of his own he wants to add to it.
How do you see the high school season shaping out? I mean, I think in our poll, Easton was like a number 5 or number 6 team, but they've looked impressive the first couple weeks. Parkland, number 1. We got all sorts of heck mail from not having a Mayus number 1, but they lost to Whitehall last week. So
Don't get back into my rant now. I mean, because you were having fun with my little rant when I pointed to the camera and so forth at the fair last week. It said, Emmaus, you got to prove something.
You demanded the camera focus on you, and then you called Emmaus out. I didn't do anything.
And look, there's work to be done there. Let's see if they can bounce back against Becca. Get back to Steve. I'm sorry.
I think it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, Parkland might have the least number of returning starters of the teams that we consider, you know, in the upper echelon of the league. But they still have that chip on their shoulder. You got to beat us.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably still the number one pick. But we've got some teams in the East Penn Conference that returned a lot of kids this year. I mean, Easton had like 17 kids back, and they got Cottrell Thompson back. You know, that's a lot of experience. Becca's got a lot of experience. Emmaus certainly has a lot back. Whitehall has a lot back. And as you can see in the Emmaus-Whitehall game, you know, that came down to maybe an injury early in the game. One of Emmaus's top kids, or maybe two of them, even went down with injury, and that could have changed the complexion of that game.
Something we talked about after week, and I know when you were coaching, you felt strongly about this, and I'll let you give you an opportunity. The week one schedule, it's the crossover, it's the EPC North against the South. I believe that a lot of programs in the South, and Easton included when you were there, would love to go out, schedule a Coatesville, schedule, I don't know, somebody from the western part of the state, Pittsburgh Central Catholic, whatever. You want to play good people, but we're locked in, which has been a very lopsided situation now. For now, we have, I think, 4 years in the can here. It's not working out. The North is, and I like some of those people up there. I've covered some of those people. They're good people up there. They just can't compete with the South by and large. Can a Stroudsburg occasionally? Yes. Can a PV occasionally? Yes. But by and large, the South is much superior to the North. So let the South go out, schedule whoever they want to play, and get a quality opponent. I hope that if the freedom is given here, that the ADs won't, hey, that's all right, let's still get together. I hope the people will take advantage of it and go on schedule a top-notch quality opponent that would benefit you later in the season, perhaps if you're going to make a playoff run.
I would certainly love to see that independent schedule. And I think the people up Northwood as well, what a lot of people down here in the Lehigh Valley don't recognize is, you know, places like Stroudsburg, East Stroudsburg, they had great rivalries with schools out of Scranton, maybe Hazleton, whatever. They had great rivalries up there, but I think not just for the quality of play, but financially, the school district would do a lot better if they could bring in good schools. One of the biggest crowds I ever saw at Cottingham was when we brought in Woodson out of Washington, D.C. I mean, Woodson might have brought 20 people to the game, and the place was packed. I think our folks here in the Lehigh Valley, they want to see different. They want to see District 12. They want to see District 1. They want to see District 3 out in Harrisburg.
I remember covering your friend, Fred Ross, when he was at Stroudsburg. He played Wyoming Valley West, and George Curry had moved on from Berwick. Right. It was a great matchup. Two great coaches, two great programs, and they went head-to-head up at the Ross Delgado Stadium up there. It was one of my more favorite games.
I'd love to see Easton hook up with Central Dolphin East. Former Peabody guy, Glenn McNamee, bringing his team back into the area. And, you know, maybe us go out there, play it at Hershey, something like that. I just think that it would be so much better for the student-athletes and for the school districts.
That's a good point. We want to get back to that in a minute. Right now we have Wally from Northampton. I believe he wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Wally, welcome to Sports Talk.
How are you doing?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm all right. I believe the answer was Sammy Ball.
Good guess, but incorrect.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks for your guess. Keith, what did you say during the commercial break? This is the hardest trivia question in the history
they'll
of
never
Sports
get,
Talk Radio.
Without going to the internet and looking it
Our
up,
people
will never,
go never to the internet.
Get this answer. Never.
I think we have smart people out there.
Smart people know how to use the internet.
Some of those old-timers at Easton, do they go on the internet? Do you think they would?
Do you think even the old-time Easton ever heard of this guy? I never heard
There's
of this
There's a lot
guy.
Of smart people in our viewing area.
I know. I think if you went to the varsity meeting this week, you might find a few guys have some insight on this.
All right. Steve Shifford, our special guest. We're going to continue the conversation with him in just a moment. But right now it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Groller's Grumblings, where he sounds off on everything and anything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, it always catches me by surprise when you kick it to me. I always get immersed
in the same spot in the show, at the end of segment two every week.
I know, but I get so immersed in the conversation. But look, NFL kicks off tonight. That's wonderful. You're never going to go more than 2 days now without an NFL game. because we have this Thursday night package and so forth. And watch the NFL. It's great. It's great to root for your team. But don't forget to, get out there and support the local schools. And we devote a lot of energy and we devoted three shows basically last week at the fair, which I loved, to high school football. But good people are playing field hockey. Good people are playing soccer. Good people are playing tennis, golf, you name it. Get out there. If you're involved with your school, get out there. See a tennis match. Go see a field hockey game. We have great state championship caliber field hockey around here. We got volleyball programs. I love football. Everybody loves football. I'll be watching tonight when the Patriots and the Chiefs get it started. But get out there and realize there's more than just the NFL when it comes to your sports world.
And we'll have more RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call right after this. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, along with Keith Groller. I'm Chris Michael. Our special and studio guest, Steve Shifford. We were talking about non-conference games and bringing in people. I remember last year during the state playoffs, it wasn't 6A, it wasn't 5A. I think it was like a 3A state semifinal game or quarterfinal game. Someone tweeted out a picture of the stands in a central part of the state, and it might have been 200 or 300 people there. We have all these different classifications. We want everyone to win and win different trophies and so forth. But I think, and people say, well, it's not affecting the sport or the interest, or the teams that win are perfectly happy with it. But you're seeing crowds going down. And people like to blame TV stations. Well, there's no TV station that broadcasts high school football in central Pennsylvania. So that couldn't have been an issue. But do you think the lower crowds, is that going to be a problem before, if we continue down this trend, or is it, a temporary problem right now?
I think it's temporary. I just think it's a phase we're going through. And I kind of relate it to, when District 12 first came into playoffs and we went down to Philadelphia to play George Washington, there was hardly anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now District 12 is getting into it. At first, they weren't into the playoff situation. Now it's becoming more popular. And depending on which school gets in, you're going to get bigger crowds. But I still think in Central PA, you get great crowds in that area. In the Lehigh Valley, we still get pretty good crowds. Some of it's the game, the matchup. You got to have good matchups if you want good crowds.
I'll chime in on this one.
Sure.
Because I saw it in basketball. Crowds were down for certain classifications. Allen was a different deal. Allen, everybody got behind the Canaries this past year. But in basketball, Bethlehem Catholic girls, not well attended. Bethlehem Catholic boys were not well attended. I think it comes down to what teams are involved. If they're traditional schools with a great following, I think they're going to do well. If they're not, it depends on how, two private schools not necessarily going to draw well. Central Catholic, I always think, does draw well. Central Catholic's got a great alumni that supports the Vikings years after they leave. Some other private schools don't have that same following. So it really depends a lot. If you get like a Berwick going against an Easton, oh my goodness, they couldn't probably sell enough tickets. But it depends on the particular matchup in a sport like football, yeah. Really in any sport.
Were you at the one at Allen when it was Becca versus, it was a district semifinal? Was it Becca Saucon Valley or Becca Salisbury?
It was Salisbury. Becca was, and actually Jim Thorpe outdrew.
Oh, yeah. Jim Thorpe outdrew everyone from the Lehigh Valley.
About a 45-minute ride, and they had double or triple the number of people that both Bethlehem Catholic and Salisbury had. And you would think Salisbury, they were tight-knit community over there. This past winter, they didn't draw particularly well either.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Mike from Bethlehem has a question for us. Mike, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing tonight?
All right. How are you?
All right. My question is for Coach Steve Shifford.
All right. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach. How you doing? Great career that you had at Easton High School as a football coach and also as a teacher at the school. I know you personally, and I was wondering, do you have plans to go back into coaching? And could you tell us a little bit about what happened that you didn't get a chance to come back at Easton? Because you're the perfect fit for the high school.
Well, I presently have no plans to go back into coaching. I'm going to see what it's like to go through a fall where my wife and I can kind of lead what other people would consider a normal life. And as far as what went on between Easton, as I said previously in the show, that's between Easton School District and myself, and I think we're going to leave it just at that.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for the phone call and for those comments. Are you going to continue to watch a lot of high school football? I know you're busy with this concert schedule, and you're seeing Lady Gaga this weekend, but when, especially when you get to the last few weeks of the regular season, the playoffs, will you continue to go out and see local football?
Oh, I'll go to see football every weekend I can, whether it's the local colleges. My nephew plays at Lafayette. My daughter works at Lehigh, so I'll be going seeing them. And Doug Powell and I will probably be getting together, and we'll go see what we decide is the game of the week and enjoy ourselves that way.
I want to ask you this, and I'm on record as saying, and you always said, no, you're wrong. You play three games. If you're in the playoffs, you're going to play in Easton, you're going to play three games. If you're in, you know, make that run to week, whatever it is, 13, 14, you're going to have to play three games in. You used to say eight, but if I counted, I'm saying nine. Doesn't really matter.
Right.
It's crazy. Three games in 9 days or whatever. And I say that takes so much out of a team that there's no way Easton, and if it doesn't catch you that first Saturday, it's going to catch you the following Friday or Saturday. You always mean, and I always wished you had a chance, and that's the biggest irritation to me that you don't have a chance now to prove me wrong, because I know you believe that it can be done. You willed your team to try to get it done, and I'm kind of convinced that if you had stayed there, you were going to get it done. And say, Gruller, you were wrong. But I'm on record saying that Thanksgiving Day game with Peaberg is so emotional, so draining, that it's tough to bounce back and retool, refuel your emotions. What are your thoughts on that? You always said we love you. Embraced that challenge. You never made excuses. I know a ton of coaches who would have made excuses. Says, I don't want to do this. Is crazy. How can we be expected to win? You said, bring it on. We're Easton. We're going to do it. I always love that about you.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that it can be done. And we won the 3-1 year. We beat three teams in that period of time with a record of like 33-1 or something like that. And then I probably made the biggest error of my coaching career. We went out in the practice field with a normal practice session the following week. And I probably should have given the kids a day or two off. Mm. And we lost at the last minute to Neshaminy in the Eastern Final. And, you know, that's...
Was that a 14-7 game or something like that?
It was a one-touchdown game, and we were right down there at the end. And I always, you know, kicked myself in the butt thinking, you know, why didn't they just tell those kids to stay home till Tuesday or Wednesday that week and then come back? And after having that experience, I think if we got into it again, we could handle it.
Yeah.
And, I watched kids in other sports go through their contests. You know, I watch kids in wrestle all day long, and they just keep going and going and going. You watch basketball teams, when we get into bad weather situations, they come back and play four or five games in a short period of time. Yeah. So,
But the Easton Peaberg game is something special, Steve.
It is.
If it was just another game, I'd say, well, maybe. But that Easton Peaberg game becomes a spectacle, and, you know, it's like a season. You always say it's like a season onto itself, and you have dinners and you have, you know, Chamber of Commerce events and so forth. And there's so much involved. It's like a Super Bowl, and then you're going to come back and play. It's just very hard, very hard. And I do commend you. You're right. You did get through it the 1 year, but then maybe I thought it maybe caught up to you a little bit.
It probably did.
Yeah.
But, you know, give the kids credit. They're willing to do it, and that's the important thing. You got to convince the kids that it can be done.
Well, and look at, and I give you 100% credit that you never made an excuse. Never. You embraced it. You said, bring it on. I love that about it. I mean, I'll never forget that about you.
When you won the three in a row, I remember, I think the first person I asked this question to was Tony Coca. But I've heard many people say that since, that was the single greatest achievement of a high school coach, to win those three games in a row. Did you think about it at the time, or now looking back on it, where does that rank among some of your members?
It's up there, and we've done it more than once. Hey, we beat Bethlehem Catholic with STEM, George Curry in Wyoming Valley West, and Jimmy Morgan's in Parkland three consecutive in that period of time, and then went and played Peaberg on a Thursday. So it's been done a couple times, but you gotta have the right mentality for it, and that's a credit to Easton kids. That's the middle, that's of that school district and the way people think there.
Easton kids are different. I you know, Keith, you cover, you know, for many more years all sports from teams from all over the Lehigh Valley, especially girls sports at Easton. I noticed that female athletes at Easton seem very knowledgeable about all the sports that are going on. But how is it, you spent a lot of time in Nazareth, you were at Notre Dame. How is Easton Kids special and a little bit different from any other group in the Lehigh Valley?
I think it's just the pride in the school. No matter what the sport is, they have a tremendous amount of pride in their high school. Mm-hmm. At Easton High School, our high school so dear, the lyrics from their alma mater. And I think that's what it is. The kids feed off of each other no matter what sport it is. It's probably one of the only places where all the sports go in the weight room together. And the guys and the gals and everybody live together. They go to each other's games. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Rover Nation. I mean, you can't get a better student section than that.
No, you have it all there. You have the great band, great right. student section. I was always, when I was a little kid growing up, Steve, I used to think Easton was sort of like a pro team. They had their own radio station, Dick Cameron, WEST. And it was like, wow, when I got to go to Easton to cover a football game, I thought I made it big time. But actually, my first game, which was also pretty special, over at Maloney Field, seeing a Bob Stem coach team in 1979 was my first football assignment for the morning call, and Dick Sniezak was the head coach at William Allen at the time, and it was a big thrill. But when I got to cover a game at Cottingham, it was like, wow, this is like the big league. And the atmosphere was just unbelievable. I mean, you had Dick Cameron. I mean, it just was like a big time. It was like the New York Yankees of high school football around here.
It was. And it was an unusual situation as a high school coach. You had to do Dick's TV, radio show and so forth, and then you know, the cable companies would come around and pregame. And I thought that was one of the greatest things for our kids because our kids, you know, yeah, they were good football players or good athletes, but they also got to be staying in front of a camera. And what a learning experience for them to be exposed to the media, learn how to handle themselves. And yeah, we had to spend some time with the kids, you know, hey, make sure you look into the camera, no uhs and does. And it was great. And I think it was really neat. We'd be warming up on the practice field and they'd see the TV cameras and they always want to know who's going to get to do the interview this week. Yeah.
All right, our special guest is Steve Shiffert. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the final moments of our show. And Steve's going to play a little roundtable with us. Some different sports topics will be thrown his way, and we'll have that coming up right after this time. Final segment of Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you're watching us on replay, on demand, on the Morning Call website, or listening to our podcast, we still have that trivia question out there. Prove Keith wrong. Say you can get this answer correct. We're looking for who was the first NFL quarterback to throw for over 1,000 yards in a single season. You can email us by going to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. The email address, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. We'll get one final guest during our live program here. Mike wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Mike, fire away.
Yeah, yes. Can you hear me?
You're breaking up a little bit, but go ahead.
Okay. Is it Arnie Herber from Green Bay in 1936?
Very good.
What website did you go
to? You did not go to the website at all, right?
I possibly did.
Possibly. Not a definitive answer. Still on the lip. Yes, 1936.
I am not incriminating myself.
Good. Yeah, 1,239 yards, and his team won the league championship 10-1-1 that year, which I did look up at the internet. Mike, we'll be in contact with you about winning the prize.
Thank you very much. Guys, have a good night.
You too. Final segment of our show and time for the roundtable, where we have a variety of local, regional, and national sports topics. And a rather bizarre topic, too. If we have time, we'll put before Coach Shiffert and Mr. Groller here. But topic number one, what is your biggest surprise of the high school football season so far? I know you've been away. You haven't seen all the games so far, but biggest surprise so far?
Wilson over Panargil, week one.
Wow.
And it was great to see the Warriors get a win, very important for Coach Lobach and his program, get things going in the right direction.
Yep. Keith?
Well, for the first time since 2003, and going through some of the records that I have, I can't find at any point in time Salisbury started the year 3-0. But they're 2-0 right now. They play the Wilson Warriors this weekend, but Salisbury being 2-0 is a surprise to me.
Didn't you have Salisbury in the bottom three in your preseason?
Probably did.
All right, I just wanted to check on that. All right, topic number two, what's your most anticipated football game this weekend? It can be NFL or college or high school. Keith, what's your most anticipated game you're looking for this weekend?
Well, look, I got to say the one I'm going to cover, Bethlehem Catholic at Emmaus on Friday night. I think there's another good one in the Colonial League that I'd love to see. but it can only be one place on a given time.
You got to fix that.
Southern Lehigh and Notre Dame is going to be an awfully good
it
one
will be.
Down there in Central Valley.
Yep. Steve?
Probably the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, every time you pick up a newspaper here in eastern Pennsylvania, that's the topic. So now that it really counts, let's see what happens.
Big one to start the season against the Redskins. All right, best individual football performance so far. Steve, from what you've seen so far?
I love the quarterback over at Whitehall the other night. His versatility running
Ethan
the ball.
Parbell.
And completing passes. And everybody and their brother knows they're going to run that slant in, and he just kept threading the needle with it.
Yep. Keith?
I'm going to go to the game that Steve referenced earlier, the Wilson 43-8. They just didn't snap a losing streak. They really took the monkey and chucked it off the backs of all those kids with a 43-8 win over Penn-Argyle. And Job Goodman was all over the field that day, caught a couple passes, ran like crazy. I think he also had a pick or two on defense. So fantastic for Wilson, Job Goodman. Now, he was shut down by Palisades. Let's see if he can get back on track against Salisbury this week.
All right, topic number four. What's your favorite Easton sports moment of all time? Keith, we'll start with you and then go to Coach Schiffer.
Well, I think, and I just found my credential. I've been the caddy Northampton guy primarily over the years, but I did get to go do the 100th meeting between Easton and Philip, which was 06? I believe it was 2006?
Maybe a little sooner.
Okay, whatever. Whenever day it was great to be a part of such a traditional matchup and a thrill. And actually, the replay game is my second, which was a replay of an Easton Phillipsburg game. The Mannings were there. That was a great day. That showed what Easton's all about. They packed the house replay game.
Steve, your favorite sports?
I'd probably have to agree with him. I mean, any Thanksgiving Day game is important. Yeah. But the 100th anniversary game with Bernard Kuhn finishing it off with a 102-yard return of a pick, but was something. And yes, the replay game was really
cool.
Unique.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for coming in here. I'm fortunate we don't get to the Lady Gaga question, but enjoy Lady Gaga this weekend. Thanks so much for coming in.
Poker face.
All right, we'll be back next Thursday with another live edition of Sports Talk. For Keith, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.